Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The End of the World is Just the Beginning, by geopolitical strategist Peter Zeihan argues that the era most readers take for granted, a tightly connected global economy protected by US power, is entering a turbulent unwind. Building on his demographic and geographic style of analysis, Zeihan examines how trade routes, supply chains, energy flows, and food systems were stitched together after World War II and why the incentives that sustained them are weakening. Rather than predicting a single apocalyptic event, the book maps how multiple pressures can compound: aging societies, shrinking workforces, political fragmentation, and the rising cost of securing oceans and shipping. Zeihan uses country-by-country reasoning to show why some states are positioned to muddle through while others face harsher adjustment. The result is a provocative, systems-level tour of what deglobalization could mean for prices, shortages, industrial strategy, and national security, with particular emphasis on the next decade of disruption. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how globalization was built and why it is being unwound. A central topic is the argument that globalization is not a natural endpoint of progress, but a specific political and military project. Zeihan frames the post-1945 order as one in which the United States used naval supremacy and alliance networks to keep sea lanes open, suppress great power conflict, and encourage trade even among former rivals. In that environment, companies could optimize for cost, spreading production across continents and relying on predictable shipping, stable currencies, and security guarantees. The book then explains why the incentives are shifting. Washington is less willing to underwrite everyone's trade. Domestic politics in many countries have turned inward, and the strategic payoffs of maintaining a universal policing role appear smaller than they once did. In Zeihan's telling, once security becomes uncertain, every link in the supply chain demands redundancy, stockpiles, and local alternatives, which raises costs and reduces complexity. The broader implication is not that trade ends overnight, but that it becomes more regional, more politically conditional, and more volatilely conditional, and more volatile. That shift ripples through inflation, industrial planning, and corporate risk management, forcing firms and governments to prioritize resilience over maximum efficiency. Secondly, demographics is destiny, aging, labor shortages, and social strain. Another major theme is the demographic headwind confronting much of the world. Zeihan emphasizes that fertility decline and rising life expectancy are reshaping the basic math of economies. Fewer workers must support more retirees, while consumer demand patterns change as populations age. He connects these trends to slowed growth, persistent labor shortages, and fiscal stress as pension and healthcare obligations expand. Countries that used to be manufacturing powerhouses because of abundant young labor face a turning point as their workforce shrinks and the costs of maintaining social stability rise. The analysis also highlights that demographics do not affect all places equally. Some states have already aged into stagnation. Others are aging rapidly without getting rich first, and a smaller set retain relatively favorable age structures that can support domestic markets and defense capacity. In a deglobalizing context, demographics matter even more because importing labor, outsourcing production, or relying on external demand becomes harder. The book pushes readers to view geopolitical and economic outcomes through population pyramids, not just ideology. For businesses and policymakers, the lesson is that workforce planning, automation, and immigration policy become strategic tools, not merely domestic debates. Thirdly, energy and industrial inputs in a world of constrained logistics. Zeihan devotes substantial attention to energy and the raw materials that modern industry depends on. The book explores how global energy markets, especially oil and natural gas, were historically stabilized by secure maritime trade and a US-led security umbrella. If that umbrella weakens, shipping insurance costs, choke point risks, and regional rivalries can make energy flows less reliable, pushing countries toward self-sufficiency where possible and toward aggressive competition where not. Zeihan also considers the industrial side, chemicals, metals, fertilizers, and specialized components that are often produced in a small number of locations and moved through long supply chains. Deglobalization in this framing does not mean scarcity of everything, but greater mismatch risk between where inputs are produced and where they are needed. The likely response is reshoring, friendshoring, and substituting materials, all of which take time and money. Readers are encouraged to think in terms of physical constraints, ports, pipelines, refineries, and the skilled labor required to build and operate them. For investors and operators, the takeaway is that energy security becomes a competitive advantage and that industrial strategy will increasingly be shaped by geography, not only by comparative cost. Fourthly, food security, fertilizers, and the vulnerability of modern agriculture. A standout topic is food, because it links energy, logistics, and geopolitics in a tangible way. Zeihan argues that modern agriculture is not simply about land and weather, but about access to fertilizers, fuel, machinery, financing, and export markets. The Green Revolution made many countries dependent on imported nutrients such as nitrogen, phosphate, and potash, as well as on stable shipping to move grain from surplus regions to deficit regions to deficit regions. In a world where trade is less predictable, countries that rely heavily on imports for calories or farm inputs become exposed to price spikes and shortages. The book also highlights how river systems, rail networks, and port capacity determine whether a country can move food efficiently inside its borders, not just across oceans. Climate variation is part of the story, but the emphasis is on man-made systems and the political choices that keep them functioning. Zeihan's broader point is that food is a national security issue, and as globalization frays, governments are more likely to intervene through export controls, stockpiling, and subsidies. For readers, this topic clarifies why food inflation and sporadic shortages can appear even without global famine, simply from disruptions in inputs and transport. Lastly, winners, losers, and the rise of regional blocs, the book organizes much of its argument around comparative national outlooks, explaining why deglobalization creates uneven outcomes. Zeihan uses geography, demography, and industrial capacity to assess which countries can maintain living standards and which face sharper decline. States with navigable internal waterways, energy resources, strong agricultural bases, and favorable demographics are portrayed as more resilient because they can supply key necessities domestically and trade selectively with neighbors. By contrast, countries dependent on imported energy, imported food, or distant export markets are more vulnerable when shipping becomes riskier and when political relationships become more transactional. The discussion extends to how regional blocs might form around supply security, with tighter trade among trusted partners and more frequent use of sanctions, tariffs, and industrial policy. This topic also touches on corporate implications. Supply chains may shorten, inventories may rise, and location decisions may prioritize stability and rule of law. The value of Zeihan's approach is that it offers a framework rather than a single forecast, encouraging readers to ask which constraints matter most for each place: workforce, capital, security, or resources. The result is a pragmatic lens for evaluating policy, investment, and career choices in a more fragmented world. In conclusion, this book fits readers who want a big-picture explanation of why everyday economic assumptions may change, including business leaders, investors, policy professionals, supply chain managers, and general readers interested in geopolitics. It is also useful for students of international relations who want an argument grounded in practical constraints such as shipping lanes, energy systems, and population structure, rather than purely ideological narratives. The main benefit is a clearer mental model for risk. Instead of treating inflation, shortages, and political shocks as separate headlines, the book connects them to structural forces that can reinforce each other. That perspective can help readers make smarter decisions about diversification, career planning, where to build capacity, and how to interpret government moves on trade and industrial policy. Compared with similar geopolitics titles, this one stands out for its systems approach and its focus on tangible inputs like food, fertilizer, and transport, not only diplomacy. Even when readers disagree with particular predictions, the framework prompts better questions and encourages scenario planning. It is worth buying because it provides an integrated map of deglobalization that can be revisited as conditions change, serving as a durable guide for understanding an uncertain decade ahead. If you would like to support Peter Zeihan, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.